The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, please be with us one more time to share your abounding wisdom with your needy people. May we have light shine on our lives. We pray that we would not take this summer that we've spent on this subject and waste it. We pray that instead you would lodge important truths deep in our hearts and our minds so that we would be benefited by them. Please bless this hour. Please give us rich discussion that honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, saints, last day. Last day on the internet. I started out thinking, I think we could do this for about 4 weeks. I went for like 12, I think. So thank you for going on this journey. This has been so rich, I really feel for myself, and I hope it's been a blessing to you too. There's just so much that we're doing every day in this new realm that is the internet, digital technology and abilities, and you just aren't always sure that as Christians, we have taken God's word and applied it thoroughly in this new realm. And so it just seems so practical, so rich. Christians have so much opportunity to be discerning, to ward off sin and temptation, and also to rise up to use the abilities we've been given. We have temptations that are different, but we have tools that are different than past generations. And so may we rise up to use them. What we're going to do today is hopefully just talk a lot. So just be ready. This is going to get real quiet if you don't start talking, all right? But I'm willing to do my first part, of course. I would also just love to hear from our younger saints here. It's been great that we've been able to share this class and not have it just be the normal adult Sunday school, but that we've also been joined by other ages. And I would love to hear your perspectives on this too. So please don't be scared off by the discussion time. I went back and I looked at how we started this class. And we started it trying to set forward the principles that we were going to be using across this class. And by and large, we stuck to them, I think. We said that the purpose of this was to examine why and how we use the internet. And of course, doing so from a biblical worldview. That's not something that you can expect to find on every blog. Certainly not on your, you know, TED lectures, right? It's just like, this is something that we can especially do in the church to say, we're going to examine this all by the word of God. And we started with just some basic principles. We started with the question of who, why, and how, if you can remember all the way back to then. Who was just recognizing Christians are the ones who care about this. And Christians are the ones who want to say, Lord, examine my heart. Lord, would you impart your word to my life so that I could live in accordance with your will, right? You don't do that with the world. And so we're not going to go out there in the world and have a wide audience for saying, but what does the Lord say about this? That's just not what the world's going to care about. We're going to find some overlap with the world because the world is also dealing with this challenge of the internet, but we're going to have a very distinct approach. And we're looking at this as Christians. And what we're doing is just applying the basic principles of the Christian life. It's to say, where is my heart in this? What's going on in my heart? Is righteousness directing me? Is wisdom directing me? Or is this sin? Is this selfishness? Right? That question of the heart is just the Christian question, right? Where is your heart, we say. And that's what we're doing in this last class and what we did all summer long. And we recognize that you can't just tell people to put Band-Aids on spiritual problems, right? So take, for example, that recent thing we did on corrupting entertainment. I can warn you about corrupting entertainment, but if your heart wants it, my warning is not enough. And even best practices aren't enough. You could, in a sense, abide by best practices and still have a totally corrupt heart, totally displeasing to God because of the way it's saturated in sinful desire, right? And so we don't look at this as pure externals. We just look at this as the fruit of our hearts, and we're trying to interact with that. When we talk about internet questions, the things we set out with to do here is just to say these are just Christian questions. You could look at a class, so we call it this, examining the internet. You could look at this and say, oh, that's like some high-tech class. I don't care about high-tech stuff. I don't need this class. But all we're doing is just saying, where is your heart in the face of high-tech challenges? How is your Christian walk in the face of all these challenges? There's no Christian that can say they don't care about these things. Even if they are the most non-digital person in the world, do you think they know anyone who's very digital? Of course they do, right? And so that question of who, it's just recognizing we're starting with the overflow of the basic Christian life. The question of why, this was a question that you're going to find it unpacked across all the topics. If you can simply get the answer to why right, you are going to be on a good path. Not flawless, not omniscient, not going to avoid every pitfall necessarily. But we ask ourselves, why should we do anything? And you all know the answer. What's the answer? What's that? Glory of God. Absolutely right. The scriptures are full of that kind of commendation, that kind of responsibility. 1 Peter 4:10-11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If Peter was looking at your computer, I don't think it would be a stretch for him to say, if you got a computer in front of you, use it for the glory of God. You remember Paul's famous verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, to the glory of God. Now, of course, Paul wasn't talking about computers, but the principle is powerful. The principle lives on. All of our lives are meant to be submitted to the glory of God. That's our reason for doing things. That's our reason for going through things. God's glory, God's glory, God's glory. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? That is your purpose. And so that's what we took to the internet, to say the internet is there for the glory of God. If you use it, it is there for the glory of God. If you log on to Facebook, it is for the glory of God. If you read the news, it is for the glory of God. There's the Songs for Saplings. Anyone know those? They're awesome, right? So they're just, I think, the shorter catechism put to kids' music, and we'll listen to them, and they just get in your head. And you thank the Lord that they're getting in your head. How can we glorify God? I'm not going to sing it for you. This is recorded, after all. How can we glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. What a great explanation, right? So sometimes we can look at the glory of God and say, well, what's that mean? Is that singing? Well, sometimes it's singing. But how about loving him and doing what he commands? That's a great definition. And so on the internet, whatever you're doing, you are always subject to that responsibility. Even now, I am meant to love the Lord. Even now, I am meant to obey the Lord. And that's actually a perplexing question, isn't it? Because sometimes you're just like, I wasn't thinking about the Lord even remotely. I was thinking about I wanted to see my friend's pictures. And that is a moment to bring your activities and your heart into submission to the glory of God. That question of why, that question of purpose, that will transform your life, and it will certainly transform your digital life. Always having a sense for why am I doing this? Is this a purpose that the Lord would be pleased with? You're meant to ask that question. You're meant to answer that question. Why? And we talked about how that need for discernment, the reason we call it examining the internet is because we're making a journey of exercising discernment. We want to examine every detail. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Another principle that will just do you so much good, Paul is commanding us not to go with the flow. Not to go with the flow. So often we think, oh, there's a crowd going that way, that's the way to go, right? The crowd knows what they're doing. Intellectually, that breaks down. But in real life, we just think, okay, yeah, I'll go along with where the crowd is going. That must be the way to go. That's often what we're doing. You picture the use of the internet like a giant flowing stream, and we think, oh, I'll just jump in and go where it's going. Paul is actually explicitly telling us, don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, discern. In other words, make a critical examination of everything that you're doing, especially everything the world wants you to do. If you can jump in the same stream as 10 million users in the world, just ask yourself, what are the chances this is flowing the right direction? Right? What we wanted to be clear about, the principle in a nutshell, is that normal is not a safe word. Normal is not a safe word, not in a spiritual sense. So you can imagine, you're sitting there thinking, should I use this app? Well, you're saying, well, look at how many downloads it has. It has 100 million downloads. This is a normal app. This would be normal for me to use it. It would be normal for me to start being a part of this community. Is that a safe thing? No, it's absolutely not. You're not meant to be conformed to this world. You're not meant to be conformed to 100 million downloads. You are meant to be critical, examining all things, examining its effect on you, examining its effect on other people, examining the principles behind it, the company behind it. You are meant to be critical. There is nothing we said, there is nothing in this world that we merely accept. There is nothing we just swallow whole. Right? I mean, I picture, so when you're at Costco, everyone goes to Costco for the samples, right? Right? Samples, right? And you have no idea who these people are. You don't even know necessarily who what the product is, but they're offering you free food, and you take that free food, don't you? And you swallow it whole, right? What about on the sidewalk outside Costco? You know, what's that, Old Clear Creek, right? What if someone's out there, they've got their own little booth. Here you go. Nope. Not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Not going to swallow that, right? That's us out in the world, right? You don't know these people. You don't know what they're offering. You have to examine it. Is that inconvenient? Sure. Is it wise? Absolutely. And so we are meant to actually examine everything. And I would encourage you to take stock of your digital life. You might, you know, when people first go on, say, a new eating plan, they might actually take an inventory of everything they eat. Here's everything I eat, and then you break it down. These were the ingredients. These were the calories, whatever, right? And you might just go through and just say, okay, that is what I'm eating. That is what it's doing to me, so on and so forth. I encourage you, do that with your digital life. Take a week. Make note of what you do for a week, how much time you spend, right? I spent 6 hours on Facebook. I spent 14 hours playing video games. I spent 12 hours on Netflix, right? Just jot it down. Don't hide from yourself. You're not going to have to show it to other people. But then just ask yourself, okay, how am I using this? Why am I using this? What is this doing to me? It will be rewarding, although perhaps it will be painful. I encourage you, take digital stock of your life. We ask those questions, who, why, how, and then we take the responsibility on ourselves that these are goals that must be accomplished actively. Is there any goal that's really worth accomplishing in life that just comes to you? Does a good marriage just come to you? Does a good career just come to you? Does a good education just come to you? None of it just comes to you. Likewise, that life conformed to the will of God digitally will be because you are active. It will be because you don't say, oh, maybe I'll get around to that. It will be you saying, tomorrow I'm going to carve out an hour from 8 to 9 to make sure I start this. And you make a plan and you accomplish it. These things will not just happen. The stream of the world is always flowing, is always pulling you its way. If you do nothing, you are, in fact, doing something, which is being conformed to the world. So take that, and take that seriously. Take that burden upon you. We mapped out diagnostic questions, questions that you just might ask yourself on a regular basis, and you might ask others as well. It was, why are we using the internet? And we always made the point to say, and why are others, right? It's not just about you, but it's also about loving your neighbor, knowing your family, knowing the current of this world. If you are totally ignorant to how other people use some app you've never heard of, what good can you be for those people? Can you be wise and discerning about the lay of the land, right? And so we encourage, recognize your role in these things, but also recognize that other people might use these things differently, might be doing things differently. And in love of neighbor, you want to know, why are other people also using the internet? We're asking questions of how, in terms of like, what are they doing? What apps are they using? What are they doing with those apps? What are they accomplishing with those apps? I have no doubt we talked about apps you've never heard of. And that's good. It's good because you want to know how, not just am I using the internet, but how are others? We ask that question, how is the internet affecting me? This will do you so much good as well. After you take that digital stock of your life, you can stop and just say, what does that do to me? What does that do to me to watch that show every week? What does it do to me to participate in that forum every day? What does it do to me to read that news site? What does it do to me to have conversations on Facebook? What does it do? What does it bring out? What fruit am I seeing in my life? There is fruit. Just ask yourself, though, are you aware of it? Do you recognize it? Right? And so we ask, how is it affecting me? We got to ask the question, how am I guarding against temptation and evil? That's another question you're going to be asking. No tool, we said, is purely good or evil. A tool depends on how it's being used, right? Which means there is danger in tools as well as potential, right? And that's why we don't want my four-year-old being handed the hammer. Something bad will come of that, right? How am I guarding against sin and temptation? In that case, well, I don't give him the hammer. But we look at our own lives in a similar way. This tool could be bad. How am I making sure it's not bad? And more than that, this tool is meant to glorify God. How am I making sure it glorifies God? Man, these are rich questions. They will transform lives. But they are so inconvenient, right? Because you're sitting there thinking, I just want to log on. Can you please just get off my back? I just want to go read my news. Can we stop making this complicated? No. It is complicated. We just need to recognize it. We asked ourselves regularly, what was the agenda or what was the business model of the companies we're working with, right? So if the business model is to sell your information, you should know that. You should participate in that knowingly, not ignorantly, right? And that's going to be a big creep in this world as they want more and more. Interestingly, Google apparently just bought like 4 years of MasterCard's information. So Google is now going to start pairing up. If you use the MasterCard, apparently, how did their advertising function in that? Now, as a business, that's great information. You want to know if you were successful. For all of us, we're like, you can sell my MasterCard information? Right? Isn't that bewildering? Like, didn't know that was possible, apparently. Good for Google, right? But we ask ourselves the agenda going on here. We ask ourselves the business model going on here. And then all that, we just ask ourselves, what does the word say? And sometimes you're going to draw a big blank. You're going to say, I don't know. The word talks about that. But that's a great place to start. As so long as you say, well, I'm going to go figure out what the word says. And then you reach out to your friends, your counselors, your parents, your pastors. You do research, whatever it is, and you just start saying, I'm going to figure out what the word says here. I'm not going to go around ignorant. The word of God is truly sufficient. It really can handle even the internet. But I don't know how, and so I'm going to go figure it out. So with that, those are the principles that we just took for 3 months, 4 months. And if you take those with you, you will be able to do basically what we did in this class. And I encourage you, I hope you do. I hope you do this. This is sort of a passion topic of mine because Christians need this. We need to be discerning in this world. We need to be purposeful in this world. And there's so much good to come from us being on top of the Word of God in this regard. And there's so much harm that is happening when we're not. And we're seeing that weekly, monthly, yearly. So from here, what I just figured we would do is we've got, I don't know, 40 minutes. And I gave you, if you have the notes out, I basically gave you a blank piece of paper with the sections laid out. Because what I'm hoping we can do here is just to go through the top points that we think we need to hold on to that are really important for each given topic. We'll just go through them a bit at a time, plenty of time for you to say what your point is, ask a question, ask a clarification. I recognize some of this was a long time ago. You may not remember it at all. If you want a little refresher, just holler. I'll do my best. But that's the plan. So this is the point where I'm going to need you. Are you ready for that? Excellent. The internet and information. You remember that one? That was a while ago. The internet and information is where we started, and I think we spent like three different times in that, something like that. What the internet and information, just if you want to talk pure principles that you just have to take with you, is it's Proverbs 18:17 first. The first to present his case appears right until the second comes along and examines him. I mean, Christians really need to repent of how badly they have disobeyed this verse. Because sometimes we don't care. We don't care about getting more sources. We don't care about having that examination process. We just want to hear from that person we like. That's not Proverbs 18:17. We need to really rise up to a proactive use of the wisdom of God. God was saying like 3,000 years ago, hey, you need a second angle on this, at least. Time-tested wisdom, never failed, always relevant throughout all the years, throughout all the ages. And here we are in our age, and you just ask, have we just totally dropped the wisdom of God? And why? I don't know, in the face of convenience? So often, who am I supposed to read, right? This is so inconvenient. I just want to do my one source. They're really respectable. That's all I need. Does the Lord say, if you have someone really respectable, go ahead and just not do this verse? Right? We're just human. And everyone you read is just human. Embrace the examination that the scriptures take to you. And the other thing we said in the information section, just beware of bearing false witness. Because that's another thing that we can do. We get inaccurate information, incomplete information, and then we rise up and rattle our sabers and go to war with incomplete information. We hate our neighbor with incomplete information. We blow up the whole dialogue with incomplete information. When we're talking about the witness that Christians could have, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, you know what I dream of? I dream of Christians who just radiate reasonableness and wisdom and gentleness. I would just rejoice if that's what Christians were known for. And maybe the world would just say, man, the Christians get everything wrong, but wow, they conduct themselves so well. They're never yelling. They're never screaming. They're never intellectually lazy. That would be a wonderful witness, even if the world never agreed with us. So I ask you then, where have you seen this internet and information topic kind of at work? What do you see, or where do you see this to be really necessary? That's a great point. Out-of-date information, out-of-date articles. And our news industry is in such a rush that it may have been an accurate article for the 8 minutes that before more information came out, right? But then it stays online, still findable on Google, and I could just go back. You know, I mean, you could picture, like, story comes out, soccer proven to be the worst sport in the world. right? And it's up online. Do you think some of you would share that? Yes. Yes, you would, right? But then, I mean, later on it says, oh no, that was a typo. We were talking about baseball. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Still going to share the soccer article, right? No, I mean, out-of-date information, really important. Really important on so many of these things when we're on such a minute-by-minute news cycle. Old information is sometimes out-of-date and inaccurate. I think that's a great point. Ron? Sure. Yeah, I think that's a good point, how we also lose access to archived information, old information. It's not like all information becomes bad, right? Some information, for example, the Bible, right, remains every bit as true, but we lose sight of it because of our internet access. Jolene? Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, because what you might be picking up on is I'm seeing someone who does not practice Proverbs 18:17. Right? And so in an objective measure, you're saying this person doesn't seem like they are mature in that category. They might be fantastic in other categories, but you're seeing them share information that's not in concordance with the wisdom of God. And I guess that is important, right? Our credibility, our reputation is actually being affected by what we share, by what we share. Ricardo? How can we separate truth and falsehood on the internet? I think that's great. I really think it's going to take time. You know, so often, like people will say, it just takes hard work. How do you keep from hanging the drapes crooked, Jason? You actually do the work to make sure they're level before you drill holes in the wall. It does take time. And I believe the time is going to show itself in actually saying, I'm going to try and find opposing viewpoints. So I don't want you to search for the holy grail of news sites. This is the one that's always correct. Obviously, you're going to gravitate to who you think is quality, who's doing a good job. But I encourage you, find antagonistic points of view. And we talked about this last time, just to say, doesn't mean marinate in them. Doesn't mean you want to just follow the terrible news site, but you should know, what are they saying? How do they object to this case? And also, there's probably 100 million people who are using that other news site. What's my neighbor hearing, right? So I think the hard work of separating truth and error is to say, I'm going to get the sides who are interacting with each other. I'm going to see, are they being reasonable? Are they being sound? Where are they getting their information? What kind of conclusions are they making? And what that is that's way different than using news as a form of entertainment to wake up with in the morning. I think the use of news as entertainment is fundamentally where we've corrupted so much of this. We need to be researchers. We need to be Bereans, right? Faithful Bereans going and examining to see if these things are so. Did I get to Patty? Was that you? Yes. Yeah. And I think we could even say, so Brian's saying we need to prioritize the news we go after. And that's absolutely true. And we can even have news that's important, but it's not news that's important for you. Right? Like, I am not the person to consult about national economics. I tend to find national news is what we gravitate to, but ironically, it's what we can do least about. And it tends to be what we like to fight most over, right? Like there's a real sense of, I really have to decide what I'm going to read and spend time on. And I have to reject that the world, like Ron's saying, the world is not looking to, you know, customize a diet of news that's really going to build you up today. They're going to say, this is what it's going to get a lot of interest. It's going to sell ads. It's going to get clicks. That's what I'm going to put out there. Doesn't mean you should be spending time on it. Michaela. Wow, that was a visceral reaction. Just cancel your cable, guys. It goes away. I've never watched The View. Go on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm hearing a good redemptive use of all the information going on out there. Well, and I think that's a good moment of submitting the information to the glory of God, right? So if you are going to know about it, if it is going to take up brain cells, what good can come of this? And there is something to be said for knowing what your neighbors are talking about. But again, you just can't do it all, right? I love reading about celebrities now, and I'm like, who is that? Right? Like, who is that? I have no idea who you're talking about right now. That really feels good. At first it was alarming. Now it feels so good. Alicia. Absolutely. I think one of those digital diet convictions will be when you compare digital time with time in the Word. Right, because you're going to have it objectively before you. You're like, I spent 44 hours on digital stuff this week. I spent about 35 minutes in the Word. Right? I mean, John Piper, he just had that amazing quote. It was, one of the great uses of Facebook and Twitter will be on the last day to banish the idea that we didn't have enough time for the Word. And then suddenly we just all just fall on our knees before the Lord, right? Woe is me. I'm a man of Twitter. Did I see your hand, Joy? Yeah. So, I mean, I would commend to you the last one on internet safety, especially all the stuff we did on phishing, right? So people are getting better and better. So phishing is just social engineering. It's a way of getting your information in order to get you to give me more information, right? And we are loading the internet with stuff about us. I could absolutely research probably 2/3 of this room and call you up as a stranger and be like, man, I haven't talked to you since forever. Remember when we lived over on, you know, on whatever street together? Remember when we went to school together? And depending on how much you've put on there, I could tell you your second grade teacher, right? And so we're making it really easy for people to approach us that way. And so I mean, my general approach is just don't do anything that someone from a distance wants you to do. Don't go anywhere. Don't meet them. Don't give them information. And more it's getting harder because they can get more and more of your information. Like I said last time, most of your social security numbers are compromised, right? It's just the unfortunate truth. Someone could call you and say, oh, your social security number is blank, blank, blank. You're like, I guess I better talk to this person. No, not necessarily. So I would leave it there. But the phishing stuff is really important. What else? Oh, man, this is rich.
Actually more volumes than most libraries could hold
mm-hmm.
at your fingertips.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as people of the Word, we are uniquely placed to recognize the benefits of the internet. I learned about the sovereignty of God from a church I didn't attend. Because the sermon was preserved. Because I got to listen to it. I mean, that's a major part of who I am as a Christian now, right? And it's thanks to a preacher I've met once. He wouldn't know who I was, but you know, that's the internet. The internet is rich. It's one of those tools. Like we were alluding to before, I mean, the internet is going to be a tool. The Lord's also going to say, so what did you do with the tool I gave you? Right? I gave you an amazing tool. Were you up for learning how to use it? And that's something we're going to be called to account for in different degrees, not all in the same way, but the Lord's given us an amazing blessing. Yes, brother. What's that? Yeah, absolutely. Listening to the Bible, what a joy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The Bible. If you find podcasts that are godly, right? That's a real blessing. There's a lot of those out there, radio shows and otherwise. Man, old generations would marvel at what we have, and the truth is, people who don't have our resources would to this day still marvel at what we have. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. All right, let's. We're gonna get through like two topics. This is good. Okay. And we're wrapping it up today. That's it, though. So if you want to talk about this, let's talk at lunch, right? We are wrapping this up, right? Yes. Brian's going to... Do you know what you're doing next week? Do you want to tell us what you're doing next week?
Straight talk about guarding your marriage.
Straight talk about guarding your marriage. Oh, that's going to be good. Okay. Man, I'm just going to have to pick here, aren't I? Well, let's talk. The second section was written communication. You remember we did all that communication stuff? And we talked about how the internet is based so much on written communication, not exclusively, but you're emailing all the time. You're texting, you're messaging, chatting, whatever it is. You're reading, for that matter, as well. And one of the big principles that Christians should take with them is that the Lord holds us responsible for our words. And more than that, the words that we use are powerful. Powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Your words are powerful. And I'm sure you can have memories of times where someone said something and it was either the exact wrong thing for the moment and it leveled you, or I hope you have more memories of this, that someone just said something and they had no idea how important it was, and it blessed you and it built you up and it made a monumental difference, and it was just a word, right? And that's what we're doing online. We're writing all the time. And we said, we're writing in volume, we're writing quickly. Often we find writing difficult, difficult to express our ideas, difficult to say them well. We're saying them to people who may not have time to read them well, or maybe they're bad readers, so they misinterpret. And so suddenly, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we're wielding it rapidly and misinterpreting it widely. So that's the question for you. Who here has like really worked on their words? Not necessarily because of this class, but how have you found growth in having edifying words, life-giving words? Mindy? War of words? Give me a principle from there if you would. No, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. So she's talking about how we can use our words for manipulation, to just get what you want, for power. Talk about way different than Ephesians 4:29, right? That every word should build up. It's a great example, by the way, of that idea of purpose. As soon as I open my mouth, as soon as I put my fingers on a keyboard, as soon as I start tapping away a message, this word should be filled with life, should be meant for blessing. That's a life-changing principle. And you'll find sometimes you write something like, does that give life? Does that build up? No. You delete it. Or does the way I say that, is that going to bless? Right? So you may want to, so someone says, oh, I'm sorry I did that. And you write back, whatever. Right? A much more grace-filled response would be, oh, don't worry about it, right? Whatever is a bad, non-grace-giving example there. Who else? Michaela. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I widely counsel people to try and have conversations in person, especially conflict. And you may just think of it like this. Usually it's just the wrong tool. It's the wrong tool for the job. You ever tried to do a job with the wrong tool? You suffer for it, right? Yeah. I mean, I remember one time I didn't have one of those big, what are those big bars that are really good at prying stuff? Not crowbar, but like the giant ones. What's that? Prying bar, right? I remember one time I just had a giant nail and I was like, maybe I can do it with a nail, right? And I'm cranking on it. I bent the nail. I bent the nail and I did not accomplish the job, right? Like some tools are just the wrong tool. And so I think that's a good recognition that texting is not always the right tool. Adam. Yeah. Yeah. Many of these principles are just that we're doing too much of something and ignoring something that's better, right? And what's better is being with people. What's better is being able to put your arm around someone. What's better is be able to evaluate how are they receiving this right now, right? What's better is just take that time, carve it out, show you care, show up, talk, right? It's just a much better way to do it. And so it's not that we say never talk. It's not that we say never say anything serious via written communication. But if you know there's a much better way to do it, you ask yourself, why would I do the other way, right? Julian, and then Brian. Yeah. Yeah, voice technology, it's catching up, but it's fraught. Fraught, we'll say. You know, maybe I should wrap this by giving a sense. Oh, I see. Colleen? Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a new burden for blessed are the peacemakers, right? You're thinking, whoa, this just blew up. How am I supposed to bring peace? Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So I just had a sense that perhaps I should say some positive things here. I dedicated 3 months to examining critically the internet, and I wasn't that positive. And I think that'd be worth concluding on, because we're not going to get to the other 8 sections, and that's just fine. A Christian vision for the internet, right? What do we dream of Christians doing to the glory of God on the internet? I mean, we dream of Christians rising up to the treasures of the information offered to them. We dream of Christians who are not simply dabbling in everything, but are being truly edified and built up because of the riches offered to them. We can dream of Christians who are taking information, curating it, and repurposing it for the good of souls. One of my big goals for you guys, I've told you this, but one of my big goals is to see a really active sermon sharing presence among you. I want to know that you guys, every week, I want to know, say, a third of you are sharing that sermon with one person. That one person you thought, wow, that would be great for them. We have such an ability to share information now. And Christians, we can really rise to that. We can really rise to sharing the blessings we have. There's no more of this, hey, only 300 of us out here in Minden are able to receive the ministry of the word. There's no limits. And I can share this across the world if I want. All right, Christians rising up to the wealth of information, the ease of sharing it. We long for Christians who are taking the abilities of the internet and making them powerfully effective. And so we talk about being able to know about people. My prayers are so much more effective when I actually know to pray for you. And I can encourage you from a distance so easily. I can, in 5 seconds, send something that will brighten your day with the light of God. I can say, I love you. I can say, I'm praying for you. I can say, I'm encouraging. I can say, don't forget about this verse. I can say, do not despair. I can say, keep pressing on. All these things. I have incredible abilities to reach out to you, to communicate to you. And that's something, a Christian vision of the internet is a prayer life that is rich. Probably we talk less to each other and we talk more to the Lord. Might be a good model for how we could recalibrate our use of the internet. I mean, a Christian vision is that we actually are supplementing and strengthening our relationships in our communities, not substituting. That was the big deal. We have substituted community. We have substituted relationship, and all those things have suffered. But we can gather together. We can gather together along theological conviction with people online. Hey, what do you think? How would your counseling handle this problem? How would you preach this text? How would you handle this child? How would you handle this work situation, right? We can draw on such incredible riches of counsel of experience, and that would be something that would be marvelous. Our personal lives supplemented by what we can find on the internet in relationship and in community. That's a big thing with the internet, just putting it in its place. So much of what we get wrong is that it's out of its place. It's misprioritized. If we put it in its place, it is a joyous good. And that's going to be with your relationships as well. Yes, brother. Yeah, it's worth it. The gain is so great, right? The gain is so potentially great. And the cost is, frankly, pretty minuscule. You don't even have to pay for the stamp anymore.
Amen.
Amen. But I mean, a Christian view of the internet is we're submitting all these things to the glory of God. We're saying, grateful for all the riches of entertainment, but that's not what my soul needs. That's not what my life needs. I'm going to put it in its place. Christians able to look at the internet and use it for the glory of God. Use it in moderation. Christians able to look different. Christians able to stand up and be different. Because this is going to mess with our lives. So let's say we're telling our kids, no, stop chatting with your friends all the time. Invite someone over. Well, picture the kid reaching out saying, my parents are saying you should just come over. And then what if the other friend is like, that's weird. Why can't we just text? Couldn't you see how that would actually be hard on our children? That they are no longer able to socialize in the way that perhaps their friends want to socialize. Right? We're those people who always want to get together. Right? That'd be great, right? But we also have to be willing to stand up. Someone says, man, did you watch the most recent Game of Thrones? Nope. Sure didn't. Sure didn't. What do you mean? It's great. No, it's not. And then everyone thinks you're weird, right? Are you willing to stand up and be different, to be holy in this society? And I have a burden just for you all. I want to see you safe, right? And I mean, something of a brother's heart, a shepherd's heart. I mean, if you have a sense that your brothers or sisters are out there just getting picked off by the wolves, you have a burden for them to be safe. And so when we talked about safety, I would just also just encourage you to be the wise ones, the ones who are able to defend yourself and your families, the ones who are not out there just being picked off, but the ones who are able just to implement some basic wise practices and be much good for it and to not have to deal with the heartache of it as well. I think the internet's an incredible tool, and I pray that you all use it, but I pray that you use it well, and I pray that you would be willing to pluck out that eye wherever you find it's not being a blessing to you. Use it on your terms, namely on the Lord's terms, and be willing to just burn the whole thing down if it's just the world's purposes. You don't need Netflix. You don't need cable. You don't need Facebook. You don't need Instagram. You don't need Pinterest. You don't need the news site. You actually don't need most of it. Actually, anything on the internet, it's probably safe to say you don't actually need it. And so have that freedom to say, I'm free of this. I'll use it where it glorifies the Lord. I'll walk away where it doesn't. Saints, thank you for spending 3 months on a very specific topic. As we go and you have questions we never got to, feel free to reach out. And I would encourage you, while this is still percolating in your mind, all these sermons are now online. They've been online. This is the time to share them. We've got about 2/3 of the church who never heard them. Share them. Say, hey, did you know there was a teaching on that? Email them. Let them know that link is there. Let's bless some folks with the time we spent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Your riches are just amazing. Your wisdom is amazing. Your light is amazing. And we look at the darkness of our lives and you light it all up. Your word is truly sufficient. We could never have imagined writing something that could last like your wisdom has lasted. And we pray that you would make us a wise people. Make us wise with the information. Make us wise with the communication. Make us wise in community and in relationship and in safety. All these things, Lord, there are so many new and emerging challenges, but we know your word is sufficient. So please give us the faith to trust it and give us a zeal to search it out so that we could apply it and benefit from it. We pray today that you will bless the rest of the Lord's day. Build us up by your word and by our singing. We pray that you do this church much good today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.